Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. Grace and peace in Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Grace and peace. Grace and peace.
Shalom, shalom, grace and peace.
Amen. Once again, welcome again to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters. I'm Joseph Israel, the Commonwealth of Israel. Here with my beautiful Reb, Rhea Israel. Say shalom, Israelite.
Shalom, family, grace and peace.
Can't say enough shalom. Yeah. Well, tonight is the Sunday night edition. We are here with the Fellowship of the Spirit and our brother, Paul Mazaluski, and his son, Jeremy. Look, people, this series that my brother been dealing with, prayer and meditation, it's all about deliverance. It's all about setting yourself free from whatever bondage it may be. Maybe it may be a spiritual bondage. Maybe it's a physical bondage. Maybe drugs or alcohol, whatever it is. But my brother is showing us that the power of prayer would allow you to overcome all of those things, whatever bondage it may be. He is showing us how to break yokes through the power of prayer. Need to sit down and listen at this one. Okay, so without further ado, let's turn this over to our brother, Paul. Shalom, Israel.
Grace and peace, brother. Grace and peace, sisters and brothers, in Jesus' holy name. Welcome once again to the Sound of Living Waters radio blog. I'm Brother Paul with the Fellowship of the Spirit, and reading for me, as usual, will be my son, Brother Jeremiah, Brother Jeremy. But before we get too far into this third part of Watch and Pray, let's go ahead and open up in prayer. So I'm going to ask all you brothers to please remove your covers and all you sisters to please cover your head. And we'll face the temple in Jerusalem and open up. Oh, great and mighty God, great and merciful God, Heavenly Father, great God of Israel, we thank you for this opportunity to gather, Lord. Father, as always, we come to you with the same petitions, Father, that you keep all your saints safe as they travel to and from gatherings where they gather in your holy name. And Father, that you give us the understanding that we seek. Father, for these and all your blessings, we thank you in the name of your beloved Son, Jesus. To all who hear my voice and agree, in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, sisters and brothers, this will be the second part. It's the third part of Watch and Pray, a series that I'm doing for the radio show. And it's the second part of the morning watch or quiet time, or what is otherwise known as two-way prayer. And, of course, for any prayer to be effective, sisters and brothers, we know that we have to be walking pleasing in the sight of our Heavenly Father. We have to be walking pleasing in his sight, and we know that that's the keeping of the commandments to the very best of our ability, regardless of the personal consequences. We walk perfect before him. Doesn't mean we're not going to fall short now, because we're not made perfect until we get that spiritual body, until we live and reign with him. That's when we will be made completely perfect. But the Lord still told us in this flesh to walk perfect before him, and we know that is by the keeping of the commandments. But we're going to get into, again, a method. This is just a method of prayer and meditation. There's many out there. There's several that I use, but this is the main one that I use because it's two-way prayer, and it also involves listening for direction. But before we get too far ahead, we're going to kind of catch up to where we're at right now. Brother Jeremy, if you will, let's read this first page of this handout that we have. And on the Fellowship of the Spirit, in the notes, there is something called the Morning Watch. And this is that handout we're dealing with now. And if anybody wants a copy, as always, all you have to do is get a hold of me after the class. So, brother, the Morning Watch, your quiet time. Yes, sir. Start there and just read that page. We're going to let you read. Go ahead.
The morning watch, as it is sometimes referred to, consists of a period of prayer followed by scripture reading. Then there is time spent meditating or reflecting on the passages just read or on God's precepts or commandments. And then time is spent listening for instructions or guidance. This can be done at any time of the day, but the early morning hours are found to be the best. At this time, we are all well-rested and our minds are not full of the cares, worries, and rigors of the day ahead. We are fresh and open-minded. There are eight elements to an effective morning watch. They are, 1, assigning a definite time first thing in the morning. 2, getting quiet, relaxed, and expectantly patient.
And we can go ahead, you can go back and you can listen to that. We covered that last week. We're going to be picking this up with the third element today. Go ahead, brother.
3, reading the Bible and devotionals before two-way prayer begins. 4, praying to God, confession, petition, thanksgiving, intercession. 5, listening for guidance from God. 6, writing down the thoughts received. 7, checking the messages to be sure of true guidance from God. 8, obedience to the guidance received.
Thanks, Brother Jeremy. And these practices, as I have been saying, are a simple and effective tool for spiritual growth. Don't ever let anybody tell you you can't have a personal relationship with your Heavenly Father and His beloved Son. You can have a personal relationship. Every prophet, every king, every man that's ever been holy in God's eyes has had to have a personal relationship. But it is a common salvation. We don't all have the same job. The Lord doesn't all have us doing all the same things. So in that sense, it's a personal relationship. And this is the way these practices here, this two-way prayer or the morning watch or quiet time, it's a simple and effective tool for spiritual growth. Brother, at the top of page 2, there's a definition of meditate. Can you read that for us, please, the definition of meditate out of Merriam-Webster? Go ahead, brother.
Meditate in the Word of God. Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, 10th edition, defines meditate in terms of engaging in contemplation on reflection or reflection, and when directed at an object to focus one's thoughts on pondering over.
Uh-huh.
Thus, when the Bible speaks of meditating, as it often does, it is speaking of focusing thoughts on, pondering over, and studying the Word of God.
That's good, brother. That is what it means to meditate on the Word of God, okay? It's not some type of Eastern meditation where we're just going to clear our minds and just let any spirit take over. We are clearing our minds in this particular method of prayer and meditation, but we're doing that by meditating or pondering on God's precepts and commandments, and in that the Lord will take that thought out of our mind. And we'll show you as we go on, he'll replace that with what he is giving you in that particular session. But we'll get into that as we go on. When I first came into becoming a servant of God, I came in through the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And though the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, the method that they used to recover from alcohol early on, the first 8 months to year and a half of the program was nothing but biblical in nature. It involved nothing but the Bible, and all the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous were all out of the Bible, biblical in nature. What has become Alcoholics Anonymous from the point of right before they wrote the book, Alcoholics Anonymous, up until and including today, has become a den of false God worship. And we'll leave it at that. So when I'm dealing with this prayer meditation and I am reading about where some of these ideas and methods came from, it came from a group known as the Oxford Group. And they were a first century Christian fellowship. Okay? Their theological beliefs included the sovereignty and power of God, the reality of sin, the need for complete surrender to the will of God, Christ's atoning sacrifice and transforming power, the sustenance of prayer, and the duty to witness to others. And their beliefs included other elements, such as the belief that having a spiritual experience in Christ would transform the believer in ways he never dreamed possible. And when these alcoholics started following these Oxford Group principles, they found where they couldn't stay away from drinking before, it was very easy for them to not even think about the drink today. Because we can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens us. This was the method that Alcoholics Anonymous started out as. And in a very short period of time, the whole method and the whole message changed into pick a God, any God. You could pray to a cup. You could put your boots under the bed until you get down on your knees enough days in a row to get your boots out that you feel like praying, and all kinds of other foolish joggins and sayings. But we won't even get into all that. The only reason I bring all this up is so that when I'm referring to this group, the Oxford Group, you know that their dependence, to the best of their ability, was on the true and living God. Okay, so now we're going to go right ahead and we're going to jump right into the third element. Again, last week we covered the assigning definitive time first thing in the morning, because the first thing in the morning, you're going to pray and meditate all throughout the day as a servant of God, but the first thing in the morning, your mind is open and it's cleared. There's no worries of anything. You're waking up, you're fresh and open-minded, and it's the best time of the day to sit down with your God first thing in the morning. You're not thinking about anything other than what you're reading and what the task is that's in front of you. So we pick that time first thing in the morning, and then we get quiet and relaxed, and we get expectantly patient. We don't rush through morning meditation, sisters and brothers. Like I told you last week, I consider myself to be an expert in this particular method of prayer and meditation. When I first started this, I started off, I gave myself a half hour. About the first week, I made it through 10 minutes, thinking I'm meditating and praying for 45 minutes at a pop. And then when I stopped looking at the time and started just concentrating on the task in front of me, each morning the Lord would kind of let me know that, okay, we're done today. And you'll see this if you start practicing this form or any other form of two-way prayer. Okay? And then I started seeing that what I thought was 45 minutes to an hour, which was actually 10 minutes, after a while, allotting myself a half-hour time wasn't enough, because I'd go 25 minutes, 35 minutes, 45 minutes. I had to start setting my time to get up earlier, but I had to set a definitive time. I have to make time for God. We're in this world, and sometimes this could be a busy, busy world, but we have to make time for God. We make time to get to that meeting early. We make time to get to the gas station early to make that sale before it goes off or whatever. You got to make time for God if you're earnestly going to seek Him. But this particular element, the third element, is reading the Bible and devotionals before two-way prayer begins. And we have a couple of scriptures that we're going to deal with here. Brother, read 2 Timothy, the second chapter, and let's read one verse. 2 Timothy 2, and verse 15. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Go ahead, brother.
2 Timothy 2 and 15.
Yes, sir.
Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show yourself approved by reading the word. Let's go to the Gospel of John, the 5th chapter. Gospel of John, the 5th chapter. John 5, and brother, one verse, verse 39. John 5 and 39. Go ahead.
Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me.
Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Search the scriptures. Let's go to 2 Peter, the 1st chapter. 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1, the 1st chapter, and brother, pick it up at verse 20, 2 Peter 1 and verse 20, go ahead.
Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
And we know that the scripture is the written word of God. It's the written word of God. It is of no private interpretation. It was written by men, absolutely. All books were written by men. But they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God to what was put down to the paper. Let's go back to 2 Timothy, this time the 3rd chapter. 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. And brother, one verse, verse 16, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. Go ahead.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
See, sisters and brothers, the scripture proves history. History doesn't prove the scripture. The scripture is the overall authority. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Let's go one more place, Matthew, the 22nd chapter. The Gospel of Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Matthew 22, and brother, we're going to read one verse, verse 29. 22 and verse 29. When you get there, go ahead.
Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God.
You do err not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. So in the morning watch, one of the first things that we're going to do once we get quiet and we get expectantly patient and we're relaxed, we're up in the morning, we've made time for God, we're going to read the Bible and other devotionals before two-way prayer begins. Now the Oxford Group people and Sam Schumacher, remember he was He was just a pastor of the time. Okay, he was an evangelist, a popular evangelist at the time. Thank you, brother. Oxford Group people and Sam Schumacher agreed with Dr. Bob's wife, Ann, that the Bible ought to be the main source book of all. No day ought to pass without reading it. And this was from Ann Smith's journal. Ann Smith was Dr. Bob Smith's wife, and she was a member of the Oxford Group, and she was the one that was trying to get Dr. Bob sober by just Bible study and reading. But that's for a whole different story. We're not going to get into the whole AA thing. Anyway, Oxford Group people and Stan Schumacher agreed with Dr. Bob's wife that with the Bible study and the reading, not a day should pass without reading it. Read and know the Bible and all else, including public worship, will fall into place. And that was by Samuel M. Schumacher, Realizing Religion. Since AAs and their spiritual teachers regarded the Bible as the general or universal will of God, they hardly expected one to seek the will of God without studying and knowing the Word of God. And that's by an AA historian, Dick B., and that's something that he wrote called Good Morning is a book on AA meditation. Okay? So the first things in this method of two-way prayer that we want to do once we pick a time in the morning and once we get quiet and expectantly patient is we want to start our morning meditation off by giving us something to meditate on. So we're going to throw ourselves into the Word of God. We know that there's other Bible devotionals and all that. When they wrote the big book, they weren't what we know as servants of God. They weren't keeping the feast days and all that. Not that I could ever find anyway. But they were doing the best they could with what they had. Praise God in Jesus' holy name that the Lord has brought us here on this call as far along as he has and given us the understanding that he has, because we have that opportunity to seize hold on being kings and priests of God in that first resurrection, sisters and brothers. Some of these people, like people in the Oxford group, they may make the second resurrection, but they most certainly were not in the category of calling oneself a servant or a saint by the definition of a saint, one who starts with taking hold of the covenant and then branches off to all the other statutes and laws and commandments and judgments. But with what they had, they were doing the best with what they could. And they believed, just like we believe, that the studying of Scripture and the meditating on God's Word was essential. So the third part of the third element is reading the Bible and devotionals before two-way prayer begins. Let's get right into the fourth part of two-way prayer or the morning meditation. And the fourth part is praying to God with confession, petition, thanksgiving, and intercession. And we're going to deal with a few scriptures right now that deal with praying to God. Let's go to Matthew, the 26th chapter. Matthew, the 26th chapter. And brother, one verse, verse 41. Matthew 26 and verse 41. Go ahead, brother.
Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
And that's where we get the title for this whole series. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And if the spirit's not on guard, that flesh will take over. Let's go to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. And brother, one verse, verse 20. 5 and 20. Go ahead.
Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What are you doing when you're giving thanks that way? You're praying. You're confessing, petitions, thanksgivings, intercessions. Let's go to First Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. You get tongue-tied over here. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. And brother, pick it up in verse 16. 5 and 16. Go ahead.
Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Rejoicing, praying without ceasing, and giving thanks is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. Concerning us. This is his will. The will of Christ Jesus concerning us. Rejoice, pray, give thanks. Let's go to James, the 1st chapter. Let's go to James, the 1st chapter. James 1. Brother, one verse. Pick it up at verse 5. 1 and 5. Go ahead.
If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given them.
If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That's praying, sisters and brothers. That's the prayer I open up with every Sunday night. Father, give us the knowledge, the wisdom, and the understanding that we seek. Colossians. Let's go to Colossians, the 4th chapter, real quick. Colossians 4. Colossians 4. Brother, one verse, verse 2. 4 and 2. Go ahead.
Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving.
Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Always giving thanks. One last place. Let's go to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Ephesians 6. Brother, pick it up in verse 18. 6 and 18. Go ahead.
Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
Uh-huh.
And for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel.
So Paul's asking them to pray, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints, for all saints. And then he's even saying, throw some prayers up for me, man. Throw some special prayers for me that I might stand boldly in the gap. So praying to God with confession. I'll spit it out one of these days here. I'm all tongue-tied tonight. Bear with me, sisters and brothers. Praying to God, confession, petition, thanksgiving, and intercession. This is the fourth element. This was often referred to as two-way prayer by the Oxford Group and early AAs. Prayer was talking to God, but the dominant aspect was listening. And this was from an AA historian, Dick V, and the title of the book was Good Morning. Opening moments of silent adoration, our spirit bows in humble and thankful adoration before our Creator. That's A. B, praise and thanksgiving. We praise God for all that he is in himself. We thank him for all that he has done, is doing, and will do. C, the daily surrender, a simple act of will. We don't have willpower, sisters and brothers, but what we possess is the power to direct our will. There's a difference. Willpower means I can do this thing, I got this sooner or later. Without some kind of standard to hang on to, you don't have this. Our willpower will fail us. But what we have is power to direct the will. When you really want to do something and you direct all your focus and attention to get that done, you're directing your will. C, the daily surrender, a simple act of will by which we once again yield ourselves completely to the divine will that God may direct us and use us all the day through. That it is since he will never force us, which makes us available to him. This is it, since he will never force us, which makes us available to him. Directing our will to do his will. D, intercession. My own usual practice is to restrict my early morning intercessions to people for whom I wish to pray, and it is a part of the morning watch that I would not on any account let go. The prayer for attention, seek, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And that was an excerpt out of Jack C. Winslow. He was a writer of the Oxford Group, and that was particular pamphlet was called When I Awake. Let great prayers help you to pray. There comes a time in private prayer when we want to talk to God out of our own hearts and in our own words, but the prayers of others will help us to do this. As we fill those ancient and modern and universal prayers with our own needs, they will live for us and help us to lift up our hearts to God. Samuel M. Schumacher, Jr., The Conversion of the Church. He's just saying that if there are some prayers that you can memorize, Serenity Prayer, especially the long version, the Lord's Prayer, when our Master taught us how to pray to our Heavenly Father, and there's other prayers that are out there that we can utilize. And we've already gone over some of the scriptures that deal with prayer. So let's jump right over to the fifth aspect. And I do believe this might be the last one we cover tonight. We'll see. We might go one more. But the fifth aspect or element is listening for guidance from God, or what is known as receiving revelation from God. Okay? Receiving revelation from God. Isn't that what Israel did? They received those revelations from this great God of Israel. Let's go ahead now and let's deal with some of the scriptures that actually talk about listening for guidance or listening to God. Let's go to 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. 1 Kings 19, and brother, pick it up at verse 11. 1 Kings 19 and verse 11. When you get there, go ahead and read.
And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountain, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind.
So the Lord wasn't in the wind. A great wind came by, started tearing up the mountain and everything, but the Lord wasn't there. Go ahead, brother.
And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake.
And after the wind, this great earthquake, but the Lord wasn't coming out of that either. Go ahead, brother.
And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire.
And then there was a fire after the earthquake, but the Lord wasn't revealing himself there either. Go ahead.
And after the fire, a still small voice.
And after the fire, a still small voice. Sisters and brothers, in order to hear that still small voice, you have to be listening. Go to Proverbs, the 8th chapter. Proverbs, the 8th chapter. Proverbs 8. This is talking specifically about prayer and meditation here, sisters and brothers. Proverbs 8. Brother, pick it up at verse 33. 8 and 33. Go ahead.
Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors.
Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. This is talking specifically about prayer and meditation, not the method of two-way prayer. This isn't talking about this particular method. This is just talking about prayer and meditation and waiting to hear from God in your communion with him. And when I mean communion, like we talked about last week, we're talking about our conversation, not eating a cookie once a week, once a day, or whatever the case might be. The way, for I was born and raised Catholic, went through 8 years of grade school. Somebody along the way in reading scripture called it the cookie, the Eucharist. So I call it the cookie because it's not the body of Christ. It's just a wafer, and it doesn't mean anything. But anyway, we're getting away here. Let's go to Psalm 143. Psalm 143. Psalm 143, brother, one verse, verse 8. Go ahead.
Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee.
Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto you. You're coming to the Lord in the morning. You're bringing him a precept. You're asking him to lead you and guide you in your morning meditations. And he's going to cause you to know the way in you should walk. And lift up my soul unto you, Lord. I lift up my soul unto you. I cast myself completely under your care with complete abandon. Now, listening to God, for guidance from God, listening for messages from God was considered an asset in the Oxford Group, which found its way into page after page of AA's Big Book. God has a plan. God speaks. But if he is to be heard and his plan to be known and carried out, man must listen. That means a new approach to God for many of us. Our attitude when we have prayed has been, listen, Lord, for thy servant speaketh. Our prayer has been what Canon Streeter classifies as pagan. Prayer, the attempt to bend God to our desires and make him the servant of our needs. Prayer, when it consists of this one-sided address by us to God, becomes increasingly unreal and is eventually dropped or only formally retained. See, sisters and brothers, that kind of prayer is just empty prayers. It's just, okay, let's open up today with prayer. We say the Lord's Prayer, And then every once in a while, you get a lesson on the Lord's Prayer that reminds you that every Sabbath you're over there just reciting empty words for the sake of a ritual. And prayers can become pagan when done in that way. Just like when the Lord says about repetitive pagan prayers. If we're not careful, our prayers will become vain. Our prayers won't be pagan as long as we're walking straight. Absolutely they won't be. But they'll be about as good as a pagan prayer. Because after a while, they just become something for us to just say. Something for us to just do. It's a ritual. That kind of one-way prayer when you're just always, oh, God, help me. Oh, God, give me this. Oh, God, I need peace. Oh, Lord, here we go again. And you're not spending any time waiting for the Lord to put his peace upon you. That's what morning meditation is all about. It's time spent coming to God, but also listening to him. And it says that means a new approach to God for many of us. Where are we here? Prayer, when it consists of this one-sided address by us to God, becomes increasingly unreal and is eventually dropped or only formally retained. Christian prayer begins with the desire to know God's will for us. The promise that our petitions will be answered is only to those who have first placed themselves in line with his will. Wow. That's coming right out of the Oxford group. That sounds like somebody I'd be listening to on a Sabbath lesson. If God is to become for us the living, active God at work directing our life and the world's, it is vital that we should learn how to listen. There is one condition that must be fulfilled before we begin. We must be willing to hear anything God says to us. The important thing for us to make each for himself the thrilling discovery that God has spoken to us. Once we have made this discovery, God will shape our quiet times and develop them until they express a full personal relationship with him and include our thanksgiving, worship, petition, intercession as part of our life with him. This does not mean that when we have a quiet time, we resign our reasoning powers. Excuse me. The idea that listening to God means making your mind a blank is a curious misconception which has hindered many people. It does mean that you leave room for God to lead you beyond your human thoughts and tell you things you could never know yourself. The next thing we shall find is that we are able better to interpret God's other ways of speaking to us through circumstances, through other people, through the Bible. We are learning to know his voice in our quiet time, and we recognize it better elsewhere. By Cecil Rose, a pamphlet called When Man Listens. But the interesting thing here is once we practice this particular method of prayer, where it says at the end we recognize it better elsewhere, God's voice, it says we are learning to know his voice in our quiet time, and we recognize it better elsewhere. That voice that begins to call out to you in two-way prayer, there are times throughout your day when that voice will call out to you, and when you recognize that it's that particular voice calling out to you, and you listen to that obedience, it'll save you from little griefs throughout your day. Because as we covered last week, this little voice and this intuition, we begin to rely upon it and depend upon it. Just like when I pick up a can of something off the store shelf, not knowing if it was clean, and I throw myself into a quick moment of prayer and meditation, and the Lord tells me, no, put it back on the shelf. And I do, and I come home, and I look, and I do the research, and it was unclean. And I take the same thing would happen, and I bring it home, say, I get that feeling, yeah, it's good, go ahead and take it, and I get home and research it and look it up, and sure enough, it's clean. We begin to depend upon this little voice. It says, it so happens quite often that in contemplating on a part of the Lord's Prayer or one of the petitions, I come into such rich thoughts that I let all the other petitions alone. And when such rich and good thoughts come, one ought to stop all other prayers and make room for such thoughts, listening quietly and hindering them by no means. And as I have said before about the Lord's Prayer, I say again, in case the Holy Spirit should come amongst such thoughts and should begin to reach into your heart with rich and illuminating thoughts, then do homage to him and let your own thoughts behind. Be still and listen to him. Who knows better than you? And keep in mind what he preaches and write it down. Then you will experience miracles. By Eleanor Napier Ford Newton. And that is a pamphlet called The Guidance of God. So that is starting to get into writing down the thoughts received. Let's see, does anybody know exactly what time it is right now?
7:40.
We have some time. We're going to go ahead and we're going to move forward. We're going to go on with the next element of two-way prayer. So now we have listening for guidance from God. The sixth element is writing down the thoughts received. And sisters and brothers, as much as I would like to, I can't find any scripture that says that when you're praying to God, you should write down the thoughts received. So this is something that is not absolutely scriptural, the writing down the thoughts received. But as we go over this, I think that you will agree as to why we write down the thoughts received. Okay? So the sixth element is writing down thoughts received. Most of us find it indispensable to have a loose leaf notebook in which to write down the things which come to us. We find that in trying to remember what has come before, we block what is coming now. We find it impossible to remember sometimes the things which come even in a brief quiet time. The Chinese have a saying that the strongest memory is weaker than the weakest link, than the weakest ink. We do not want to forget the slightest thing that God tells us to do. And I have sometimes had a rush of detailed guidance which came almost as fast as I could write it. Samuel M. Schumacher, Jr., The Conversion of the Church. In my own experience, sisters and brothers, I have gone through periods of time where I have written things down, and I've gone through periods of time when I didn't write things down, where I just prayed and meditated and just relied. The only thing I was looking for was the peace. I wasn't necessarily bringing up a petition to the Lord to actually hear some specific guidance from him. So I've done this both ways. But if I take a precept to him, what I have found in my time of doing this method of prayer, if I'm looking for an answer to something, whether it be a precept in the book or whether it just be something that I'm struggling with or something that I'm trying to do, someone I'm trying to teach, or some specific situation that I'm bringing to our Heavenly Father. If I don't write things down, just like we just read, I'll get stuck on one of the things that come into my heart, and I know from experience I'll miss 15 or 20 things. Now, we'll see in a minute that it doesn't mean that everything we're getting is coming from God. But if I'm not writing it down, I could be missing something that's coming from him. So when I get to the point where I'm listening for guidance, okay, I'm ready. I've done my reading and everything. I've gotten quiet. I've got my first thing in the morning. I've gotten quiet. I've done my reading. I've done my prayers. And now I'm listening for guidance received. And I'm going to write them down. I just have a piece of a notebook paper on my lap with a pen. And I'm still closing my eyes. And I'm still getting quiet and relaxed and everything. And I'm waiting for these thoughts to start coming. And when the thoughts start coming, I just pick up the pen, and I just start writing, and when that particular thought that I'm writing is done, I put a backslash, and if something's still coming, I start writing. And sisters and brothers, if you start practicing two-way prayer, you're going to see that sometimes these thoughts are coming so quick that all you're doing is writing, backslashing, writing the next thought, backslashing, writing the next thought, backslashing. And then when I get what I feel is enough writing in that particular session, I just put everything down in front of me. I'll hold the pen and put it down on the notebook in my lap, and just go back to listening. And the Lord will show you after you practice this enough, he'll show you when you're done. He'll basically, he's not going to call, hey, Paul, that's enough for today, buddy. I'll see you tomorrow. But you just know that you're done for that particular session. At first, it's going to be some trial and error. It'll be 10 minutes, seems like 2 hours. Then all of a sudden, 45 minutes is going to seem like 10 minutes. You may be late for work that day. But the Lord is going to bring you into this particular method, as with all methods of prayer and meditation. He is going to end up guiding you into it and almost taking it over in your mornings as you practice this on a regular basis. But I found that the writing down has been indispensable. Some days I fill up a three-quarter sheet of a notebook page, and that's got, what, 30 lines on it? Just by thoughts with backslashes, where when I go back over this when my session's over, I don't even remember writing half these things. But then maybe we will get into the seventh portion today, so we don't leave you hanging thinking that this is something crazy. But anyway, let's get back into this here. Fix the results of your praying by writing down what comes to you. Many thoughts pass through your mind as you wait listening before God. Some are more important, some less, but writing them down will help you remember them so that you carry them out. Bishop Slattery, in some notes he made for an address, wrote, prayer, notebook, wait, listen, write down what is given you. Take plenty of time for this so as not to be hurried or skip your time with God. 20 minutes at least every morning for listening prayer. Samuel and Schumacher Jr., How to Find God. Many find it real help to write down the ideas and thoughts which the Holy Spirit has caused to arise in the mind. The advantage of this is twofold. It is an aid to concentration and acts as a reminder of duties to be performed. It is also of value in checking at the close of the day the thoughts received each morning and throughout the day. And that's by Howard J. Rose. How can God guide me? Okay? So writing down the thoughts received, sisters and brothers, these thoughts that come to you, with most people that I've talked to that have practiced this method, it comes in the form of a voice. And it's a voice, just as if you close your mouth and your eyes, and you're praying silently to God, and you hear the words you're saying, it's a voice very similar to that. When you first begin to practice this method, it's hard to differentiate between it being your thoughts or you actually forming the thoughts to bring to yourself and the Holy Spirit actually bringing to you through God, or another spirit putting the spirit in your heart. It's hard to differentiate the difference at first. But then as you begin to practice this, sometimes in your second, third session, you'll get to see when the thoughts are coming from you and when they're not. And especially once you start writing these things down, when you have one of those mornings where you're just seems like you're writing all day, and you've got a nice big paragraph of all these thoughts, and some of these thoughts you don't even remember writing. And then as you continue the experiment of two-way prayer, you'll know when the voice coming to you is not from you. But make no mistake about it. It will be a voice that will come to you, and it will fill your heart with whatever it is you're seeking from the Lord, as well as with other things. So when this happens, when you start getting all this guidance and you're writing all this guidance down, and now you get the feeling that you're done with the writing and the listening aspect of your two-way prayer, now it's time for checking the messages to be sure of true guidance from God. Time to check the messages to be sure of true guidance from God. And sisters and brothers, I thought maybe we would go into this, but I'm looking, and the next element is rather lengthy. So What I'm going to do is I'm going to put element 7 and element 8 off until next Sunday night. So, sisters and brothers, as always, it is an absolute pleasure to sit before you and to rightly divide God's word. And I hope that somebody got something from this instruction on two-way prayer.
Great theses, man. You know, a lot of times we, as you know, students of the Bible, you know, we tend to use encyclopedias and different texts and stuff like that. Something to Timbuktu, something like that. You know, we use all these different texts, you know. And myself, I use the two Babylons and Babylon the Great is Fallen, you know, which is an old book by the Jehovah Witnesses. They don't even present that book anymore because it actually, in that book, it tells them, you know, how to serve God, you know. And you can see how, you know, people get away from the original doctrine. You know, it's a lot of, it's just a everything's been watered down. We're starting to see it now. Everything's being watered down. So, you know, you can see the sturdiness in it in the beginning with the Oxford group. You can see that sturdiness. You know, but this day and age, everything is being watered down. You know, nobody can't take tough love, you know. He's physically disabled. You know, back in the day, they were cripples, you know. Deaf and mute. Well, you know, that's also disability, you know. And we tend to water everything down, and what we do, we lose the impact and the gravity of what's really being done. And I really appreciate you going into these texts, you know, to show that these things is relevant. You know, to overcome your fears in your ears, you know, these things are relevant. And I really hope, you know, that we're really taking these things seriously. Because they are. It's a great, great, great precept and a great thesis. Man, love it. A great job reading, Jeremiah. It's a great job reading, man. Hanging in there. So that being said, I yield the mic. Well, everyone's mic is open.
Yeah.
Anyone have any comments for Brother Paul? Feel free. Or if you have a testimony about what you just heard. All of us is coming from something.
Right.
You know, not all of us may have been dealing with alcoholism or drugs, but maybe abuse. You know, maybe you're dealing with abuse or form of that. Okay. All right. Well, then I guess we're good.
We didn't lose them, did
we? I don't know. Did we?
Not
no, because that's his children. Oh, okay. Paul, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Told you.
Well, okay. I have two calls
dropped. Okay. All right. No, that wasn't Paul.
That might
okay,
have been my
well,
home phone. They were listening in the living room on the other phone.
Oh, okay.
The 708 number, yeah.
Okay.
All right, well then, bro, you got any closing comments for the brother?
Brethren.
Sisters and brothers, just stay strong till next week. Next week, we'll go ahead and God willing, we'll have a review, and then we'll finish it up. We'll piece it all together on two-way prayer, and then we'll talk a little bit about it, and hopefully it'll be something that at the very least was edifying. So I appreciate this opportunity. Again, as always, grace and peace in Jesus' name. Until next week, I yield the mic.
Amen. Amen. Hold fast to that which you have, brothers and sisters. And don't let nobody steal your crown. Okay? Hold fast to that. This is the good stuff. So with that being said, we're going to thank everybody for their time. And we hope we edify someone. And as we say here, the sounds of living waters do what?
Read the book.
Bible.
Read your Bible, people. Time appointed.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, we're covering, it's so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, radio show. Sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, radio show. Sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, radio show. Sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, radio show.